If it's news to you, it's important to him. This is the Big Five with Elias Makos from Montreal's News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome to Friday. David Hertel in for Elias, who's on vacation. If you're out there on the roads, of course, please, please, please be careful. Treacherous out there. Right now, outside the CJD 800 studios at Papineau-de-Renévec, it seems calm. I don't see any rain. I don't see any snow. Traffic seems to be moving. The main streets are in good shape. But again, outside Montreal, it seems to be very, very difficult out there. And the weather is, let's face it, not stable. It's going to move around throughout the day. A little later on the show, we'll have Lori Graham at 10:50, actually. She's going to come on to give us an update. And, of course, throughout the day on CJD 800, we'll be, of course, following and keeping you updated, following very closely this weather system with Storm Watch. Hope you're well wherever you are and everything's okay and you're hunkered down. And if you have to be out there, first of all, thank you. Seeing the snowplows working very early this morning. I was out with my dog, Jackie, and the deliveries were still going on. The plows were out. I'm sure the healthcare workers were at work. So everybody who has to work today, thank you for all you're doing and braving these very difficult conditions. Let's get to the Big Five, shall we? She is a former journalist and former mayor of Côte des Neiges NDG. Sue Montgomery is on the line. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, David.
And he is a political analyst. Karim Bouliss joins us. Hi, Karim.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Sue.
So, hi, Karim.
So hello to everybody. Everybody has said hello, 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 hello. So moving on. My first issue, as we're heading into the holidays, big season for restaurants. And right now, the restaurants are having a lot of problems with no-shows. I read another story this week. This restaurant had a reservation for 14 persons, and they never showed. Nobody showed up, and actually, nobody even called. And this was a very tiny restaurant. This was basically their whole night. And so it was too late. They couldn't take any walk-in traffic. They couldn't take other reservations, which they had turned down the days before that night. So we're at a point now where the restaurateurs are saying we should be able to charge a penalty, a fine, take a deposit. Right now, the law does not allow it. What do you think we should do? Should we allow them to ask for some money up front, or there's some sort of financial penalty for people who don't show up? Let's start with you, Sue.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they do this in France. They take your credit card information, and if you don't cancel within 24 hours and you don't show up, then you are charged a certain percentage of, you know, like, I don't know, $40 or $50 or whatever. And I think it's just, you know, if people aren't going to be considerate, then we have to kind of legislate consideration. The restaurants are all struggling. The price of food has gone way up. And, you know, they struggle to find staff. I feel sorry for anyone in this business at the best of times, but especially right now. So I just think that they should be allowed to take someone's credit card information, and if they don't show up or they don't cancel, then they're charged a certain amount. I think it's just fair.
Karim, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think that at this, where we are in society with the challenges we're facing, you know, economically and with cost of food and everything, you know, restaurateurs are taking quite the hit. I have many friends who are restaurateurs who are working, who have people full-time managing the whole reservation process, calling to confirm, sending text messages, sending reminders, because as you said, the law does not allow them to charge. And some of them have told me that charging isn't really a solution because, you know, the staff works predominantly for tips. So when you charge the $40, yes, you've gotten some of it back, but you're likely to lose people down the road if you're not, you know, managing the reservation process. And so part of it falls on the restaurateur. I'm not blaming them by any stretch, but a part of it as well falls on the patrons to be responsible enough to should at least have the decency to cancel. And as Sue said, I think 24 hours in advance is fair enough, because then it puts the onus back on the restaurateur to try to get that table booked. And so they've got to get onto social media, start posting, start sending out notes to, you know, just because people cancel a day before doesn't mean that magically you're going to get 14 people replacing the 14 who canceled. Mm. So it's really hard on them. And I think that they deserve a break. They've had a rough 2 years, and that the industry as a whole has never been an easy one. So I think, whatever we can do to help them, for sure.
What about the counter argument I've heard that, for people, you know, that have, you know, a bad luck? I mean, if something happens that's out of your control, still having to pay, and it's not necessarily people that have a lot of means either. I mean, it's not all restaurants that are high-end, very expensive restaurants. So what do you say to that counter, that it's some way for accidents or something that, you know, is force majeure, for example, that penalizes the customer much more? Sue, any thoughts on that?
Well, it's just consideration. I mean, if you have a dinner party and your guest doesn't show up, they could at least give you a phone call and say, I'm not coming, you know, so you can adjust. Yeah, there could be accidents or whatever, and then a restaurant could decide, okay, we won't charge you, or, you know, they can have that discretion. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's absolute consideration.
Sure.
And, like, how hard is it? Everyone's got a cell phone. How hard is it to send off a text or give a call that you're not going to make it, especially a group of 14? I just find that so inconsiderate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Kareem, thoughts on that counter?
Yeah, I think so. I think there has to be common sense. You know, I think the restaurateur should have the right to charge but not be obliged to charge. I think case by case, you know, sometimes you hear that people are genuinely distressed. There's something going on. They've made an effort to cancel, and there's a, you know, force majeure that does not allow them to attend or prevent them from attending. You know, it reminded me of the restaurant Tapeo in Rosemont a few years ago. I saw this article in the Gazette where one night they had 40 reservations, different people, different groups, and nobody showed up. And that put that on the radar.
And
to think that something happened, I don't know if it was whatever, a storm or whatever, but nobody canceled and nobody showed up, which was, I mean, that's catastrophic for a restaurant. So, yeah, I think that use good judgment. And a restaurant doesn't want to be in the business of charging people to not attend. So it's going to have to manage that process.
Yeah.
But at least to know that it has the authority or the power to do it is a positive thing.
I totally agree. We in total agreement to start off this Friday morning's Big Five. Something rare. It must be a Christmas miracle.
The stories making waves in Montreal. The Big Five with Elias Makos from News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back. Joined by Sue Montgomery and Kareem Bulos on this Christmas Eve edition of The Big Five. Well, François Legault made the rounds yesterday at St. Justine's Hospital. And his tip for Quebecers is, you know what, why don't you just don't get sick? That was the best advice he seems to be able to give. Because of the impending crisis in our ERs, are we at a point where, and this morning, actually, in the Journal de Montréal, Mario Dumont, columnist in the Journal de Montréal, was writing, it's time for, and he's no federalist, trust me, he was saying it's time for a federal official inquiry on the status of healthcare across the country. That's what he was calling for. Are we at that point where we need a full-scale inquiry about how to overhaul healthcare, not only in Quebec, but across Canada? Kareem?
Look, we lived through the last 2.5 years of absolute chaos. In that time, we saw vaccines being developed with lightning speed. So the old adage, if there's a will, there's a way. I don't see any changes coming. I don't see any initial preliminary plan to overhaul healthcare. And from any province, I mean, I'm only looking at Quebec, but I don't see anything coming. And, you know, if it's not urgent now, I don't know when, you know, we just went through it. I don't know when we're going to feel the sense of urgency again to overhaul the system. It's not even been a year since we've been sort of out of the whole COVID nonsense. And now, forgive me, I shouldn't say nonsense, but the whole chaos that surrounded COVID. And our ERs are over capacity again. Children are now being affected by respiratory viruses. we're panicked, telling people, please don't get sick, because don't have Christmas parties all over again. Wear a mask, stay apart, because we still haven't fixed the healthcare system. And I don't expect it to be fixed in a year, by the way. That's not at all what I'm expecting. But I am expecting starting tomorrow, these three measures are being put in place, and we've heard nothing. It was an election year, mm-hmm. lots of fluff, lots of talk. It's now they've been in power for 2 months, and hey, have a great holiday, keep your distance. I mean, that, wait a second, a sense of urgency. I want to feel that the politicians are as worried about this as they are worried about keeping us home and wearing masks. I want them to overhaul the system, quit telling us to change our behaviors and adapt ourselves and our life and our quality of life to the fact that they, as a result of their lack of action. And at some point, Mr. Dumont is not wrong. We should have a basic base level standard of care across this country that meets our expectations. We bellyache about how much we pay in taxes and about how much this costs for, the old adage is we have a great healthcare system as long as you don't get sick. So, it's unfortunate, and I don't feel nobody seems to feel, I don't feel any urgency. Any party, let alone Mr. Legault.
I know. It's kind of like we have two completely different narratives on this.
Absolutely.
When the government talks, our plan is working and just don't get sick and we're not going to put any new restrictions. But when we're talking to nurses, unions, it's doctors, all frontline personnel saying it is mayhem. It is hell on earth. So, Sue, is it time to really press the emergency button?
Well, I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall in St. Justine Hospital when Legault showed up. it's surprising he didn't end up in ER himself. I think the healthcare workers are saints. I don't know how they are keeping it together. They're in a caring profession and they genuinely care about people and want to do that job. I think that we should be supporting them. And quite frankly, I think that many governments, conservative governments across the province or the country, are hoping to privatize things. I think that's really what's behind all of this inaction, is if the system becomes so broken, people will go private. And I think there's probably behind the scenes, there's a lot of pressure on the government to do that because there's a lot of money to be made in that. And I think that'd be a very sad state of affairs if we ended up with that kind of system. So I agree with Mario Dumont that, let's look at the healthcare system across the country and find out what is going on here. I think, and for Legault to simply say, wear a mask if you go to a party, it's laughable at this stage.
Yeah.
Let's see some action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Real action, because we're not getting it. Moving on. Eric Girard, who is, of course, our finance minister, but he's also, with this new government, this new CAQ government, our minister responsible for relations with the English-speaking community. And so in a big interview with the Gazette published this morning, he says that the relationship between the CAQ government and the English-speaking community was not perfect in the first mandate. He says he wants to do better moving forward. So what do you think about this new position? Do you believe him? Do you think the relationship will change than in the first mandate? And I got to tell you, having been in government, when you have a minister taking over a portfolio you've had and you hear something like that, it kind of, I think you take it the wrong way. So I'm wondering how Christopher Skeet feels this morning reading that. Mm-hmm. But how do you take this from Eric Girard, Sue?
Well, they can start off by not adopting laws that infringe on our fundamental rights.
Yeah, well, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, I know. But, hello. That's for starters.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the government would just stay out of it, I find that the communities get along just fine and dandy. Everybody speaks French and English or Franglais or whatever. It's when the government starts getting involved that it creates these ridiculous tensions between the communities. And I just don't think it's there at the ground level. So, stop sticking your nose in our relationships and do some real work, like fix the healthcare system or the education system. Forget about this whole language so-called problem and get on with the real issues.
Kareem, what do you think?
You know, contrary to what some people might think, Anglophones in this province consider Quebec their home. You know, and what I hear over and over is people feeling unwelcome in their home. I'm a proud Canadian, but I'm a Montrealer. I'm a Quebecer. I really am. I don't see myself living in Saskatoon. I don't see myself, mind you, I've been to Saskatoon, lovely city. Lovely cities across this country. But I'm a Montrealer, a Quebecer, a Canadian. And I think of this as my home, and I consider this to be where I want to raise my family. But if you continue to make me feel unwelcome, it's not that I want to leave. I'll have to leave. And then there's this big shock that, the Anglophones aren't integrating. It's not that we're not integrating. We're not being invited in. We're being excluded through, you know, implicit and explicit processes, like Sue mentioned. Stop passing legislation that singles us out, that makes it makes it popular to exclude and disenfranchise Anglophones. We don't want to see an English word on a sign. We don't want to see hear English being spoken. We don't want to see emails circulating between Anglophone employees. Listen, people come from around the world. There are people who are relocated to Montreal who come from the U.S. or from other parts of the world who speak English. And in their function, in their daily function in a corporation, they should be allowed to speak in English. My father, many years ago when he was working in banking, worked in Montreal for Banque Nationale de Paris, PNB. Okay, BNP. Mm-hmm. And their communication back and forth with Paris was in English.
Oh, yeah.
It was the banking language.
Sure.
So enough. It's just about turning this into an issue to divide and conquer and gain popularity in certain parts of the province. We saw the resurgence, the popular vote of the Parti Québécois. The sovereignist parties are, all of them, pretty much, or the undeclared CAQ. At some point, you got to stop making people feel bad because of the language they speak. And this one, like, if you were to say the same thing about somebody who speaks or another culture, it's okay to English bash, but you can't bash anybody else, or it comes off as racism. And so at this point, we have to address the systemic nature of this anti-English sentiment. And in fact, it's not even systemic, attitude. It's legislation. Bill 96 was appalling. And I can't understand how he can say with any kind of a straight face, they haven't been, the relations haven't been perfect. You can't, beat somebody up and say, sorry, did that hurt? We can't do that. You can't accept it in the Anglophone community. I'm not saying rise up and scream and yell, but at some point, just treat people with respect, acknowledge that they exist and they've contributed and continue to contribute to Quebec society. Yeah. And that becomes step one.
Well said.
But there's no acknowledgement.
Well said. Well said. Look, I have a minute left. I want to try to end on a high note. So let's talk about those winners of the Lotomax jackpot, $40 million. They looked so sweet, and they looked like the Gazette photographer apparently had to tell them to smile. I think they're just in shock about winning this money. And it seemed, it's in Côte d'Ige. I think it was bought in Plaza Côte d'Ige. I thought it was just a wonderful experience that it was won by, newer Canadians, definitely newer Quebecers, most of them, and people that have come here with more dreams than means, obviously. Anyways, thoughts on that? 30 seconds each. Let's start with you, Kareem.
Fantastic. I think it's great. Wonderful. I'm not a big fan of the $600 million types of gains that people get out there. When I see $40 million being divided by many people, and needy people, it's always additional bonus. I think it's great. I think I'm happy for them. I think it's a feel-good story right before Christmas.
Sue?
Yeah, I agree. It's really great. I just hope that they're not... here I am, negative Nelly, but I just hope they're not targeted by some kind of scam.
Yeah.
I worry about them being taken advantage of.
Managing it correctly. Yeah, because there are these stories, these horrible percentages in the U.S. that, I don't know if it's like over half of these winners go bankrupt within 5 years or something. We wish them the best, obviously, but it's still a feel-good story to end on this Christmas Eve Eve. So thank you so much to both of you for a very, very thoughtful conversation this morning. Sue Montgomery, Kareem Bolos, happy holidays to both of you. And
thank
that's
you.
The Big Five on this Friday. And we will get you to your news and have an update on this storm from Trudy Mason and your CTV News Update.
Catch the Big Five weekday mornings at 9:05. News Talk Radio, CJAD 800 in Montreal.